The Tom Flowers Cricket Coaching Podcast, brought to you by Bespoke Cricket, Rutland's premium cricket brand. For the best bats, pads and gloves, check out bespoke-cricket.co.uk. Here's what's coming up on the podcast.
We've tried to create a pathway here at TFCC where youngsters can come to us as a 5-6 year old and we can help mentor them, we can help nurture them, we can help facilitate their progression and development. We have pulled a business through one of the toughest landscapes that you're ever going to see in the UK, ever probably in anybody's lifetime going forward. You know, I was determined to put back into local cricket and ensure that cricketers had a better experience and an improved experience, and especially guys who are knocking around sort of county age group, or they might have been dropped out of a side and they might be striving to get into a side. That's an area that I felt I've always been really strong and able to advise and support and mentor. There was an agenda in the early days, and it's something that I sort of laugh about now, really, because you know, we've established ourselves and we continue to develop and to progress, and that guy's become pretty stagnant and really has nowhere to go.
Now, on with the podcast.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of the Tom Flowers Cricket Coaching Podcast with me, Tom Flowers, ECB Level 4 Elite Coach and ECB Approved Mentor. Guys, we've got a fantastic episode ahead today. It's our 10th year anniversary episode. I don't know how the time's gone this quickly or where the time's gone, but it's been an amazing journey. I was thinking how to sort of start this episode today when I was planning it out, as I do all my podcasts that we've done previously, and it really, I've still not found the right words to describe just how proud I feel of the journey that we've been on as a business and a group of companies. It's been a long, long road from 10 years ago, almost to the day when TFCC was created, through me walking into my old headmaster's office when I was head of cricket down at Sherborne School and presenting him my resignation letter and saying to him that I was leaving the job, and he asked where I was going, and I said I'm going to start my own cricket business. And with that, I think the jaw dropped slightly, and he said, okay, Tom, is there anything we can do, etc., etc.? And I said, no, my mind's made up, and I was leaving Dorset and heading back home to start the business, and never really have looked back from that moment, really. It's been a roller coaster ride, and in today's episode, I hope to go through some of the trials, tribulations, the celebrations, and everything in between. So without further ado, let's get going. So guys, look, before we start, I wanted to say a big thank you to everybody within our cricketing network who has been supportive and followers, be it a near, a far, customers, players, friends and family, and loved ones. My wife, whose patience is extremely, threshold is high, let's say, when you are married into effectively a lifestyle and a job. But it has been one hell of a journey, and we could not have done this without you. I firmly believe that TFCC has not just now filled a original gap in the market, if you like, for high level independent cricket coaching in an area where previously the offerings just were not there to suffice the demand. I believe we have not just established ourselves as a leading cricket coaching company within our area, but within the UK itself and also further afield. And it gives me great pride and great pleasure to look back on that with fond memories, and with a great amount of proud feelings, I guess, really. The clubs we work with have been superstars. There's too many clubs to name them. Chris Armstrong, Barry Hancock at Burleigh Park, Rob Gomez at Bowden Cricket Club, the guys at Quorn Cricket Club. Huge supporters of what we have done over the years here at TFCC. Medbourne Cricket Club, Roger Rose there and Dave Nance. Big thank you to those guys. And Langton's Cricket Club, Mark Ward, and the guys who have been very loyal and supportive to us, who were our first cricket club we got involved with. Bartby Cricket Club also need a special mention. My home club, who helped me along with this journey to begin with, gave me an opportunity to work with the juniors and the seniors at Barkby, and that was a great platform and a great learning curve for myself and how the business has shaped and gone on since then. So yeah, look, so many people along the way and thank yous that we could go through here. I think the biggest thank you is saved for my staff and my team of coaches, who without them over the years, TFCC just would not have been what it is and made the impact it is. So we've had some memorable staff over the years. Ben Silver, who was with us for the first 6 years of TFCC. Callum Gilbert, who was with us for a couple of years at TFCC as well. And some real stalwarts of TFCC. Liz Page, who's currently working at Derbyshire, and Neve Piggott, who moved into I think council-led initiatives through sport into a managerial role. So she was a fantastic influence on us. And that brings us to our team we've got now. Greg, our graduate coach, Dee, our administrative lady, Ollie, our fantastic apprentice, and John Bowers, who is our operations manager here at TFCC. So look, it's inevitable that things go through cycles, and we're in an industry where we've got youngsters who are ambitious, who want to get on with their coaching and move through their badges. It's been great for us to facilitate that at TFCC. We've had coaches who have gone to do their level threes, level fours, where I've mentored them. We've had coaches who have gone to work at first class counties. We've had coaches who have come from first class counties. We've had coaches who have gone to work for the ECB. We've had coaches who have gone into lecturing in sport, as I say, working for sports initiatives and funding projects. I think that it's been a great platform for a lot of the staff that we've had, but we would not be here without the efforts and the combined collective efforts over the 10 years of all the staff. So look, that is a big thank you from me and the contractors that we have and have used, the loyal ones over the years, Dave Brignall, Scotty Moore, you know, the guys that we've really valued. And we've continued to see year in, year out, winter in, winter out, and obviously some of the more recent coaching contractors that we now have as well. So, look, guys, huge thank you to me. If I've missed anyone there, I do apologise. But as I say, over a 10-year period, it really, the list of thank yous becomes endless. So, from my perspective, look, huge thanks to everybody involved. I just want to get on record. I've said this often, I think, on previous podcasts, and I've said it to previous when I've been interviewed for various things. It's an absolute privilege what we do. Coaching for a living is something that shouldn't be taken for granted. I believe, and on record, many do take that for granted, and I'm always the first to remind myself, and if needs be, them, if they're on. Rarely would they be on my team with that attitude, but I think that with what we do, you're in one of the most privileged positions you can imagine within the youngsters' sport, within the landscape of cricket in general. And do not underestimate the impact that the every small interaction that you have on an individual, youngster, adult, whatever, can have on them holistically. And I think that I always say to my guys, look, you are helping create memories for a lot of these youngsters that they will look back on in 25, 30 years and say, oh, what a brilliant summer we had at a TFCC camp. Or do you remember the sessions we used to have on a Sunday at Langton's? And for me, that still excites me. And the fire still burns bright. And I think that even now, 10 years in, people say to me, look, would you Are you going to wind things down? Tom, are you going to take it easy? And I still honestly get as much pleasure, if not more, from taking a intermediate beginner player and making them into a functional, smart, more consistent cricketer. You know, I've taken one or two guys in the last few years through that journey, and the satisfaction that's given me that they are still playing cricket when I think as 15, 16-year-olds now they would have been lost to the game without that kind of mentoring and nurturing and support. And I think that's been a fantastic testament to the guys that are on the coaching team with us as well, and the journeys that my team have helped take players through. Equally, we've had players who have joined us on our programmes at 9 and 10 who have gone on to play, you know, County 2's cricket, top level university cricket, and we've helped them, minor counties cricket, we've helped them through that pathway as well. So people who say at TFCC, you know, what's your typical player you work with? I don't think we do have a typical player, to be honest. I think that's the beauty of it, is that anybody can request a session or come to us for a session. They get the same level of input and support as any player of any ability coming to us. You know, there's no selectiveness. If somebody wants a level 4 session, they get level 4 session and everything involved with that, and all the wider support and knowledge and help that a player would get that was accessing that level of coaching. So we've tried to create a pathway here at TFCC where youngsters can come to us as a 5-6 year old and we can help mentor them, we can help nurture them, we can help facilitate their progression and development through their adolescent years all the way through to 17, 18 when they come through our residential program. They might come on our Desert Springs tour, and then ultimately we let them release them into the bigger cricketing world, if you like, and that isn't our job necessarily done then. We might then see players, revisitors on a one-to-one basis, or, you know, maybe come back to us and with their coaching badges and want to get involved with that pathway themselves. So I think that the TFCC player pathway is something that we're very, very proud of here. It's something that's in constant refinement. We want to keep getting it better. But it is something that's developed nicely over the years, and I'm confident it's had a huge, huge impact on hundreds and hundreds, if not more, of youngsters, boys and girls, within the local area and further afield, really. My marketing guy was saying to me, Tom, you've got to list some highlights and go through some of your best bits over your 10-year period. Now, that's quite a difficult thing to do, because when you're trying to think back over setting a business up and starting up out on your own, the challenges that you face and some of the hurdles there is to get over, and constant fires you're putting out. And I think that I've tried to sort of come up with one overriding factor, which is the fact that we have pulled a business through one of the toughest landscapes that you're ever going to see in the UK, ever probably in anybody's lifetime going forward. Taking the business through COVID when many startups, many people failed. That's one of our prouder moments, I'd say, as a coaching company, and keeping our players, customers supported, engaged, but also with the support that we got through that time from them and the cricketing community. We had to adapt, we had to adjust, but we stuck together and I think came out strong the other side. It did create some very bizarre moments. I mean, I remember sitting on a podcast with Marcus Trescothick and thinking, what are we doing here? I mean, this is an amazing opportunity and we don't know where we're going with it, but crumbs, let's enjoy this moment. I also remember doing a 11-hour day of one-to-ones because my staff were on furlough and I was told that you can't work on furlough, staff can't work on furlough. So in the end, I did the coaching all myself, which almost led, I think, to a big burnout, but we pushed through and we carried on. equally, you know, we tried to support our staff through that period, keeping them on full pay and making sure that they were looked after, because as I said previously, without the staff there is no TFCC, and without TFCC, you know, there isn't the impact and the positive stories that we can reflect back on and look through. So look, COVID was very proud. If I was to sort of reel off a few more moments, I think you know, establishing a network of cricketing contacts within the coaching business, but also within the UK and potentially further afield as well. I mean, we've done some crazy things at TFCC. We've set up our own elite residential program in the UK, which I fundamentally believe is the leading UK performance cricketing residential program, and that's something that I would challenge anyone on that. And as that took a lot of refinement, getting up off the ground, a lot of hours to do, and that has been a huge you know, sort of line in the sand for us at TFCC, where we're saying, look, we are serious about what we do here. And we've had guys from, I get on regular Zoom calls, to US, to Caribbean, to Europe, to parts of Asia, about, you know, candidates and applicants for our elite residentials. We've also really benefited from the increase in the European cricketing market, so we've had players from Belgium, Luxembourg, you know, sort of to name a few, across Europe as well. So look, it's been, that's been a real game changer for us, and it's something that we has really allowed us to offer our performance environment at TFCC, which is something that I think is really important with that player pathway. We went to see Joe Root at Lord's, which was great. Last time I'd seen him before that, I was on the end of a 350 partnership, I think, between him and Johnny Bairstow, when Yorkshire played us at Oakham, I think, which was not fun, which I think he reminded me of as well, when I pointed out that was the last time I saw him, which was great. But look, we were part of the Root Academy for a while, which was great, when they were getting off the ground. Obviously, then we've then gone in our own direction, which has been great, because that was a great partnership in the early days. We've had partnerships with Northamptonshire County Cricket Club, we've had partnerships with Lincolnshire, we've had partnerships with Nottinghamshire. It's been great that the counties over time have seen the value and the added value that we can add here at TFCC. As I said from day one, and I've said this to all the counties in our local area, we're not here, this is not about us going rogue or doing our own thing. It is purely because we feel that the current coaching offering is not up to standard, and the current offering is not being covered by what's already available. And I had a quote from in the early days from a business advisor that said, you know, Tom, at the end of the day, if the counties were doing their job locally to you, you wouldn't have a job. And I think that in itself speaks volumes. So look, we've been very proactive in making sure that we have positive relations with as many counties as possible, some more than others. Some counties just don't get it, in my opinion. They don't see the value of a professional coaching company offering consistency of delivery, offering you know, higher quality control, offering the fact that they're not going to be let down last minute by contractors, etc. But you know, the counties have embraced that. We've really developed positive relations as the years have gone on, and that's been a real feather in our cap, I guess, really, that we've had. You know, I've sat in meetings with Nottinghamshire and they've said, look, you know, we're going to sign off and approve an in partnership logo with a test match county. So, you know, if it's good enough for Nottinghamshire, it's good enough for any county, I think. Which, look, that's again, credit and testament to the programme that my team have delivered time after time here, again and again at TFCC. So I guess the other areas that I wanted just to pick up on is the fact that it's not all been plain sailing. And I think that it would be wrong of me to sort of say, you know, we've had this fantastic journey. We've built the team from just myself to five of us coaching, and we do X amount of clubs, and it's all a celebration. It's great, and it has been fantastic, but there have been a number of challenges along the way and humps in the road. I think that the initial outset, and that's almost trying to convey to people that we were a hard-working, honest brand and company that was coming into the coaching market. I think that took some doing. I think it helped along the way that I'd already developed a reasonable reputation as a player. I think that was really, really useful. And as a result of that, then you had some credibility when TFCC was starting, certainly with the cricketing community back then. I've been well retired, probably 6 years now from playing, so it's a different kind of landscape. But I do think that the playing days for me at TFCC really helped. The big thing for me is, you know, I was determined to put back into local cricket and ensure that cricketers had a better experience and an improved experience, and especially guys who are knocking around sort of county age group, or they might have been dropped out of a side and they might be striving to get into a side. That's an area that I felt I've always been really strong and able to advise and support and mentor, and it becomes from an impartial place. I mean, TFCC, we don't have you know, we're not accountable to a county cricket club, so we can recommend players to different counties. We can give our honest appraisal if a parent speaks to me saying, this is the situation, how do you see it? And I say, well, look, I might see it like this, and it might be that we agree with counties, and we often do. But it might be that actually this has happened. Well, is that the right way? Is that the way I'd have done it? Maybe not. So I think that sounding board and that in-between where we can be completely impartial is something that's really, really helped the cricketing parent, I'd say, that we work with. I think the challenges also that I don't really speak about, that it probably is appropriate to speak about at times, is the, you know, sort of the doubters, as we'd call it, in the early days. You know, the people that said you shouldn't be doing that. You know, you shouldn't have a company with your own name, it's never going to work, you're never going to scale it up, why would you compete with XYZ, you know, that's not the way things are done, it's the county board's responsibility to deliver them types of coaching that you're doing, you know, you don't need to go to TFCC for your club coaching, it should be run by volunteers, and all that. And look, we've faced many, I'd call it agendas, I think. We've had a big agenda at one particular county from the get-go, which is, I've still can't get to the bottom of. I've got a viewpoint on it, and I've never shared that viewpoint from the one person I believe that started that agenda. But it comes from a place where that individual probably wished they'd been able to establish and create what we have here at TFCC. And his short-sighted approach was something I saw straight through, and hence why from the get-go we've always been longer term, you know, for the longer term benefit, to make it more sustainable, reinvesting back into the business, being prepared to advertise, being prepared to scale up, and being prepared to take risks. So that individual knows who he is, someone that I don't have really a lot to do with these days, but again, there was an agenda in the early days, and it's something that I sort of laugh about now, really, because, you know, we've established ourselves and we continue to develop and to progress, and that guy's become pretty stagnant and really has nowhere to go. So look, that's something that I've kept to myself for a number of years, but it was a driving factor and a motivator, I guess, throughout the 10 years, and really wanting to prove the doubters wrong, really. You know, I think when someone doubts that you're going to do something, it can really give you the bit between your teeth and make you really push on and drive it forward. So you know, that's something that here at TFCC I've really driven home, is that this is what we're doing. If you don't like it, not a problem. We are still going to be doing it, and we're not just going to be doing it, we're going to be doing it bloody well. And you don't survive and establish yourself and have regulars and loyal players and parents and customers that come back if you're not doing something right again and again and again and again. And as I say, TFCC isn't just me, Tom Flowers. It's a brand. It's something bigger than that. It stands for something. It stands for equality. It stands for professionalism. It stands for developing youngsters, looking and after and nurturing the individual. It stands for all them things. And I think that I'm getting a bit emotional saying this, really, but that is what TFCC is about. It's bigger than in these individuals. It's bigger than the doubters. It's bigger than myself. It's a purpose. We are serving a purpose to make a difference here at TFCC, and that's something that still burns bright in my heart here as well. We continue to face challenges. You know, the national insurance rise, minimum wage. We've had to increase our costs to customers. And that's never nice, but that loyalty, I think, is seen, and it's something that's a constant challenge in all areas of life at the moment. So, look, just a huge thank you again for those who continue to support us, despite the fact that we're having these constraints around our necks at the moment. My marketing guy said to me, what are the lessons you've learnt, really? So could you summarise the lessons you learnt for anyone that's listening? And I think that sticking to your guns is something that's really hard. I often forget that the establishment of a coaching company, there is no blueprint. Now, that's been great in many ways because we've been able to go down many angles and off on many tangents that I see fit, really. There's less red tape and, as I say, no blueprint. With that, though, there has been challenges. I've tried to embrace them challenges, and I think that big lessons for me are stick to what you're really good at and get as good as you can at what you do. Be true to yourself and know when to dig in and when to flex. I think that's really appropriate for dealing with players, clubs, staff, etc. That's a really important lesson I've learnt. Sticking to your guns. So I think when it comes to things like pricing, again, in the early days, you can't charge this, you can't. Well, that's what we charge, in the same way that a mechanic, that a dentist, the builders, that is their rate. This is our rate. If you want to access the service, come and see what we're about. Come and see the quality you're going to get. And I think that you then got to back that up. So that's something really important. I think that I've also grown as a leader, I think, and big lessons I've learned is that your staff are the life and soul of what it is you do. Don't take that for granted. Don't know when to push them, but know when to relieve them. Know when to put the arm around, know when to kick up the backside. I think that they're all things that, as a leader and business owner, you can only develop over time and through the lived experience. That would be my experience of that. What are the lessons of that? I've made a few notes, and I think it's important that I do go through these. So just excuse me while I just bring these up, if that's okay. I've put wearing my heart on my sleeve. I think that's something that, if it's so easy in the modern world where everything is straight back, everything is the idealistic, correct answer that you should be saying for fear of it getting critiqued. I'm very big on saying things as I see them, you know, in a diplomatic way, but being quite straight talking. I'm big on picking the phone up and having conversations and being front-facing on that front. Again, they're things I don't believe happen these days. And I do think that overall, it's that honesty that has really helped us here at TFCC, that people know where they stand, and not shying away from them difficult conversations is something that I'd say is one of the biggest lessons I've had as a leader over the years, and how to deal with things and prevent them escalating, but also ensuring that it prevents any just when you stray off equilibrium, when you've got things where you like them, I think that's a really important thing that we value and hopefully do well here. Consistency of character is something that I'm huge on. I say this again and again, time and time again to my staff and to my team. I want guys who turn up and deliver and have a great session. We don't do it for thanks. We do what we do, but we do it again. And we come back the next day and we do the same thing again. And we finish off and we do the relevant tying the ends up, you know, feedback and planning and reviewing. But then we do it again. And guess what? We then do it again and we go again. And that is TFCC in a nutshell. It's about doing it again and again and again and backing it up time after time after time. And that's how you create consistency. And that's how you create something premium. That's how you create something great and something bigger than yourself, is when you just keep hitting that mark again. So it becomes the norm. It no longer becomes that's great service or that's a brilliant product or that's a fantastic session. No, no, no. That's our minimum standard, and we keep delivering and we deliver again and again and again. And I think that's something that I live by. I think the final lesson I've learned is adapting and not standing still. So we had no venues at COVID. We got shut out by blockers, as I call them, which are the many sort of people on receptions of venues and schools. So we created our own venue and we raised some capital. We reached out for some COVID funding and I pulled together some contacts and we created the Rutland Cricket Centre. We also established a clothing equipment brand during that time. So we looked at ways that we could make our income as TFCC Group of Companies wider spread, and we adapted. You know, we did podcasts, we did coffee and cricket mornings online where we'd videoed them, we got special guests in. We tried the best we could to adapt and move forward, and that's something that is absolutely crucial. You know, if we're told we can't run a residential because of COVID, we can't get in, what do? We brought a load of tents and we camped out at a local cricket club and we delivered a performance residential that way, so that cohort of kids didn't miss out. That's what we do. We find a solution. We haven't got a venues to use during COVID because we can use them, but schools, it's easy to say, computer says no. So what do? We put a venue. We start operating ourselves. And I think it's that ability. We get to a camp at Burley Park. We've got 35, 40 kids arriving an hour before. You can't come in. The high winds, the park's shut. What do? We find a solution. We still deliver. We don't pull it. We don't cancel it. We don't let people down. We find a solution. We adapt and deliver. And I think that's something that's been huge for the TFCC over the 10-year period that we've operated. I think finally from me, just sort of three lessons, I guess, really. Three tips for starting a successful coaching business like TFCC. Again, Shrey and our marketing team has asked me to try and summarise what tips, Tom, would you give for someone that was starting tomorrow and said, I want to run a coaching business. What would you recommend? What would you say? And I think that I've narrowed it. I had a lot of thought about this because I could answer it quickly and say don't. No, I'm joking. Joking aside, there are sort of three things I'd say to start in the business. And I guess one of them we've spoke about, which is consistency over time. And within that, I'd say, you know, as I said, consistently delivering, getting up and going again and delivering again and hitting the same standards and not finding excuses not to do things, staying on top of things, you know, just the graft and the grind, you know, values that I've had passed down from my parents, I guess, really, and my upbringing. That is something I can't get away from. So consistency of character, the way that you show up, but the way that you show up to yourself behind closed doors has been something that you can't get away from when you're establishing a coaching business or a group of businesses like we've managed to do here at TFCC. I think the second big tip I'd have is doubt the doubters. And that's something that, as I say, that keeps my fire burning bright. If people doubt you, that we can do something here at TFCC, if I pick up on any negativity, well, you shouldn't be doing that, or, you know, it won't make it work, or it just motivates me to do it more. I think that, just on record, I guess, really, I want to thank the doubters we've had over the years. Again, that's like I said earlier, they know who they are, and they've done huge thanks because they've done me a massive, massive favour. But doubt the doubters, put doubt back in the mind of them doubters and prove them wrong and use that as motivation. That has really, really propelled my fire in my belly to really make this venture, which started out as a one-man band and a little venture 10 years ago, to really establish it and make it something that's meaningful and has got longevity. The final thing, and I guess this is open to interpretation, but I'll share it anyway, it's something I've always lived by, is being a good bloke on the way up. So, I came out of the game early at 21, 22 at Leicestershire as a player. I was always aware of building a good network, being a bit older for my years, having been in adult cricket early, which is I always put that down to. I think that's something that I lived by in the early days, which was, I wanted to be Tom Flowers, not just a decent cricketer, but Tom's a decent bloke as well. So being a good bloke on the way up is something that, without a doubt, has helped me with the coaching business and the setup. There was a couple of lads when I was coming through at Leicester who, excuse the French, were a couple of dicks in my opinion. And needless to say, neither of them now are involved in any meaningful capacity in cricket. And I think that's certainly one of them is an example of someone that I always share with my close contact people, as to say, look, if I'm doing business support or some business mentoring to maybe a startup or a sole trader who I might have booked some business consultancy or mentoring with me, I'll always say, look, this guy's an example of somebody who, on the way up, if I was speaking to an ex-pro who's just come out of the game and they said, Tom, can you give me some advice? Like, he's an example of behaving like that on your way up with people. It's a very slippery slope then to try and climb back up reputational wise if you've been a poor bloke on the way up. So I think that's something that I'd say is that for youngsters that might listen to this, or parents of youngsters coming through, that they might not quite make the cut for a long-term career, which is where I sort of fell between the cracks, I'd say. But don't double down on that and have one dream shattered, but then mean that because of your rep, you've not been able to then go still work in what I see as the greatest game and greatest job I could possibly do. So that's just a final thought from me. Look, guys, once again, thanks so much. I hope today's been insightful. It was meant to be a celebration of a podcast, but as very often with me, it becomes quite analytical and quite philosophical, I guess, really. So I hope it's given you a real insight into where we've gone, what we've done at TFCC. I've tried not to sort of talk about personal challenges throughout today's podcast that I faced. As I say, TFCC is bigger than me, and it's something that has kept me going in some of my tougher, darker times over the years. So, look, that's me signing off. Again, thanks for a fantastic 10 years. You've listened to episode 3 of the TFCC podcast today with me, Tom Flowers. Have a great day, guys, whatever you're doing. Cheers.
If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to leave us a review and follow us so you never miss an episode.